All right, so let's run down the numbers here on this. The losses from the bet gone wrong at J.P. Morgan Chase. Initially, they said the losses would be about $2 billion. Jamie Dimon, who's the CEO, the chief executive, said those losses could double. That would be $4 billion. But today, the New York Times says, in fact, it could be as much as $9 billion. And joining us now is Michael Dillemer-Said, reporter with the New York Times Dealbook. Michael, nice to speak with you again.
Thanks, Celeste.
First of all, let's remind everyone, including me, of what these losses were from. What exactly was this bad bet?
Sure thing. So it was actually a series of bets. So first, J.P. Morgan had taken out a bet to protect itself during the financial crisis. And that was a pretty big position. But as the economy seemed to improve, they actually took out another bet on top of that first bet. And that's what seems to have gone wrong. And once people got wind of it, and there were other traders at other firms that got wind of it, they started moving against the firm. And that's what's led to this big loss, which when J.P. Morgan first announced it, said that it could be more than $2 billion. It appears the worst-case scenario is pretty bad.
All right, but tell me how you came up with this up to $9 billion figure.
Sure thing. So what we've reported is that within the firm, there are reports that actually say that, you know, they've said that the loss could grow over time, but the current estimates are that in a worst-case scenario, the losses could reach $8 to $9 billion. At this point, though, it's not quite clear that things are that bad. The loss could be, you know, perhaps $6 billion or so, and it would really require the market to move against J.P. Morgan, but the fact still stands that if things get really tough for them, the loss could grow even bigger.
Well, what would affect those losses? I mean, J.P. Morgan is actually moving quicker than expected on getting out of that deal. Would that bring the losses down?
Yes, in terms of them getting out of the trade, that'll help them a bit. But if they're selling pretty quickly, as we believe that they are, that could cause them some short-term pain because they're not quite getting the best possible price for these trades. So the loss may grow a little bit because of that, but it also allows them to get out of this bet more quickly.
Well, J.P. Dimon has pretty downplayed. I mean, even when he spoke before Congress, he kind of downplayed this loss. He said, don't worry, it's not going to cost taxpayers anything. It's not going to cost our customers anything. Basically, we can foot this bill. And now he says the profit bank will still be profitable for the quarter. Is that possible?
It still is. J.P. Morgan is pretty healthy, has a pretty healthy balance sheet, except for this, as far as we know. And so in terms of whether the bank could weather this, it's entirely possible. It's regarded as the strongest bank out there. And it's not quite clear that this will force them to have a loss. Now, we don't know what solidly profitable means, but for the moment, unless things move really badly, it's still possible or probable that J.P. Morgan could still have a profit.
And solidly profitable, Michael, could be one penny in the black, right? Michael DeBlomer said, reporter with the New York Times Dealbook. But you know, even a larger issue than losses at J.P. Morgan is whether or not this will move the politicians in any way to strengthen regulations. And to that discussion, you have to add the discussion from overseas, right? The idea about whether Barclays Bank and J.P. Morgan and 19 other banks were involved in manipulating interest rates in order for them to appear stronger than they actually were. Do you think J.P. Morgan is implicated in that?
I think that J.P. Morgan is as well as you pointed out, a lot of other banks. And this is actually something that I think could actually pick up a lot of steam. It's something that had sort of floated under the radar, but with Barclays paying such a huge fine and with other banks still in the crosshairs, this could turn out to be really significant. And we're talking about affecting what's called LIBOR, which is used to set almost all of the important interest rates that you and I care about. And so regulators have paid a lot of attention to this case, and it is seen as very important. And as for whether it'll affect the way, you know, regulators look at banks and whether they need to have a tighter handle on them, this could very well be a huge factor.
They're talking about the interest rates of interbank lending, correct?
That's right.
And if they manipulated them, at this point, they're still allegations. If they manipulated them, do we have any idea? I mean, LIBOR, that affects trillions of dollars in loans. I mean, do we have any idea how much they stood to gain or lose?
We don't have the exact figures, but it does seem to be really significant. And just the fact, when you look at the correspondence, I mean, at least what's come out about Barclays, you get the sense that they appear to know that what they were doing was wrong. And it's a question of, you know, how widespread this was. And so far, we don't know. But the fact that they're looking at so many banks, it shows that this is a pretty broad investigation.
So let's go back to J.P. Morgan with Jamie Dimon. This is a guy who has opposed stronger regulations on the banks. And I wonder, as the losses, we have to assume, grow at J.P. Morgan, even if they cover these losses, as Jamie Dimon says they can, is it changing the minds of other bankers? Is it making other financial institutions rethink their own risky bets of this kind?
I think it can't help but do that. J.P. Morgan was always seen as the safest or the strongest and most careful of the big banks. And so the fact that if this could happen at J.P. Morgan, could it happen anywhere else? And people are increasingly wondering, it's entirely possible. It's really cast a black eye on the financial industry, and it's really got regulators looking much more closely at the banks. You could see what happened on Congress and a lot of people asking tough questions of Dimon, and you get the sense that a lot of people are really wondering what else is lying around in bank balance sheets that hasn't come out yet. And so I think that there may, in fact, be a stronger push for bank regulation because of all this.
I'm wondering, Michael, what else is lying around on the bank balance sheets. Have you been looking over the financials at J.P. Morgan?
We have been. A lot of reporters here and everywhere else are doing that. And one thing that stood out is that bank balance sheets are still pretty hard to understand. They're very complex machines, and there's a lot of moving parts. And so wondering if there's anything else out there will probably take some time.
All right. Any word from other people, that other banks that might have made similar trades?
Not at the moment. It's J.P. Morgan is the only example so far, and it's really tough to know whether other banks have.
Although they're the strongest, so you have to assume that maybe other banks did. I mean, haven't they been?
You can't speculate. You know, don't get him in trouble.
I'm trying to.
Michael does. We don't want to get Michael.
At some point, a New York Times reporter is going to speculate. Michael, is it going to be you?
I do my best to report the facts.
Thank you.
Michael de la Merced, reporter with the New York Times Deal Book. He's talking about J.P. Morgan Chase and a loss initially estimated at $2 billion, could be as much as $9 billion. Thanks, Michael, so much.
Thanks.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.